Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, we continue our conversation with Anne Rice.
You say that you returned to the church, but you had not closed in on the question of Jesus Christ and Christianity completely.
No.
And you began to research.
I did.
You learned something about the state of New Testament research and Jesus research in America. And I'm going to quote a little bit. This is from Christ the Lord in your author's notes, because I think it is so profound. In sum, the whole case for the non-divine Jesus who stumbled into Jerusalem and somehow got crucified by nobody and had nothing to do with the founding of Christianity and would be horrified by it if he knew about it, the whole picture, which had floated in the liberal circles I frequented as an atheist for 30 years, the case was not made. Not only was it not made, I discovered in this field some of the worst and most biased scholarship I'd ever read.
That's true.
Your journey into the research of Jesus revealed a tremendous debate within the school of scholarship about Jesus himself and the nature of the text and the reliability.
Right.
How is it that you've come out so clearly convinced that the text is reliable, that the story of Jesus is true? You mentioned N.T. Wright and the compelling case of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I found the New Testament scholars who believed in the reliability of the text to be infinitely more convincing and rational. And N.T. Wright is one. John A.T. Robinson is another. Martin Hengel, a great German scholar, is another one. And Richard Bochem, the Anglican scholar, is another. I found that they may, and there are many others, actually, many, many others, as you well know, probably better than I do. And because these people have been, to a large extent, attacked by the skeptics, they've had to make their case with great eloquence and great patience. N.T. Wright is one of the most generous scholars I've ever read in being in praising the skeptics and thanking them for what they have achieved and what they've contributed to us. He says the quest for the historical Jesus has given us treasures. And I thought that was wonderful. The amateur, I tend to sit there and get a little angry at some of the things I read from the skeptical scholars. I mean, more than a little angry. But he always retains that great patience, and he writes these monumental books that so eloquently and beautifully make the case for the Gospels being reliable. And more than anything else, he opens up to us the richness of the story once we accept the Gospels. That's when the story really takes on its tremendous power. And something that's false is not going to take on that kind of coherent power. I mean, as a novelist, I know that. A bad novel doesn't have that power. And, you know, as soon as I started to trust the Gospels and think, well, wait a minute, do these things have to be cut to pieces by these scholars? Well, what if this is one person writing? Then I began to see that richness and that power and that coherence, and then all the nuances and the extraordinary little things that make the gospel so lively, so unique. I mean, you know, really, and of course, priceless.
Your research shows. In the early 70s, I sat at Harvard Divinity School in a smoke-filled room talking about the Essenes and Papyrus Secret at number 2 and all the different religious ferment of the first century. And one of the things that happens in your research and then manifests itself in Christ the Lord is the Jewishness of Jesus, the absolute understanding of his Jewishness. How was that important, and how did that become an important kind of key for your getting into the story of Jesus? Because for those that don't know, Christ the Lord is about the childhood of Jesus. It's about the absent period. We know very little about that period.
Well, we do know a lot about what Jewish life was like then. And some of this we owe to the skeptical scholars who have put a great emphasis on Jesus as a Jew and what his life was like. Paula Fredrickson was one of the scholars I read early on, and her books are really wonderful at describing the Jewish milieu. Not just that, but talking about the ancient world and the ideas people shared at that time, the conceptions they took for granted. She puts all this in perspective beautifully. I don't agree with her ultimate conclusions. She is a skeptic, I think, but I owe her a great debt of gratitude for her brilliant writing in Jesus of Nazareth, no question.
When you start with Jesus as a little boy, the opening scene could be from what we know as the infancy gospel of Thomas,
right?
Telling stories of the young boy Jesus.
Right.
What were some of those stories that you decided you wanted to make use of?
Well, I was intrigued from the first moment I read those infancy stories. I felt they had a grain of truth. And these are not heretical gospels, as you know. They're not Gnostic gospels. They're really pious legends that accumulated at the time. And they were passed on for something like 1,500 years. Even today, there are poems that reflect those gospels and the stories. And they have to do with the fact that the child Jesus showed miraculous powers even as a child. And some of the stories are pretty fantastic. But again, I thought there's a grain of truth here.
Yeah.
How wonderful if I can take that and accommodate it within the four gospel framework. You know, not say anything that would contradict the four gospels, but use some of this because people cared about this. They told these stories. They wrote them and rewrote them. And they worked their way into painting in the Renaissance on the walls of churches in Florence. So I really wanted to salvage a little of that material and bring it along with me.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, you have the James, the brother of Jesus, remembering when Jesus took clay and turned it into little birds, shaped it, and then they flew away.
Exactly.
And the kind of one of the things that you do that a good novelist, only a good novelist could do, is you get in all the what-if questions. You know, what would it have been like to be the brother of Jesus? What is it like? You talk about sibling rivalry.
Yes.
You remember as a child these three wise men showing up and calling your brother the king.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing how and you know, as you get into the childhood of Jesus, I have to say, and this is not a comparison at a literary level, but one of our children is fascinated with Harry Potter and magic.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't really make the connection with the boy Jesus beginning to come to a consciousness that he did have powers.
Yes.
There's something very special about his story.
Absolutely.
So in Christ the Lord, we see who is Joseph in this story? Who is Mary? What was it like to be the brother?
Right.
You have a kind of a crazy uncle in the story.
Yeah.
John the Baptist is one of the most interesting characters in this story because he looks at Jesus. He knows something
about
Jesus.
Yes, he senses something.
But he's not saying it.
Right, right. I loved writing that.
Yeah, it must have been extraordinary fun. Or Jesus showing up with the great rabbis and them beginning to recognize something special.
Mm-hmm.
And then remembering the story of Bethlehem.
Exactly.
And having dismissed it. Mm-hmm. And now there's a little boy who said, but he didn't die.
That's right. But he doesn't get to say much more in this book.
No.
He tries to indicate, but the rabbis do think that he died in Bethlehem because of the massacre of the holy innocents. Yeah.
Well, it's just a remarkable piece of work at kind of the fictional level, being able to imagine Jesus meeting Philo in Alexandria as a boy when he was in Egypt, right through to the various characters reacting to Jesus' childhood. And of course, it sets all of us up for wanting a series of books.
I hope so.
Because
I want to write it.
Well, it's so much fun to read, and I think it's done us a service in helping us get inside the life of Jesus as a child.
Join us for our next podcast with Anne Rice. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.